Good morning, church. Would we turn to our Bibles to John 13, please, chapter 1 to 17? Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I will tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Thank you, Zane. Good morning, church. How are you this morning? Are you good? Wonderful. It is great to be back. Was it quiet last week? I don't think so. Robin was here last week. So, yeah, it is good to be back. Although I would have loved to stay for another week. We had a beautiful, beautiful break, beautiful week. Everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. The sun, you know, the weather. People say you brought the weather with you, and it was great. And everything was good until I decided to have a coconut ice cream. And that was the one argument Annie and I had for the whole time after that. Coconut ice cream. I wanted coconut ice cream. I asked Annie, "Do you want one?" She said, "No, I don't want ice cream." I said, "Is it coconut ice cream? Oh, it looks nice. Can I try yours?" "No, we're still here. Do you want one? We can buy one for you now. I don't want to share." She said, "No, I don't want it. It's okay." We moved from the ice cream shop and start walking back to the place where we were staying. And, you know, "Now, can I try your ice cream?" So I didn't share my ice cream, and that was the trouble for the whole time. But we had a good week, and I'm glad to be back. It's wonderful to be here. So many new faces today. Good morning to you. Welcome. This is the place where you want to be. You don't want to be anywhere else, especially at this moment. We welcome you here. My name is Emmanuel. I am the associate pastor here. But this is the house. This is a place where we welcome everyone. And we want you, we want everybody to be part of this house and be part of what God is doing. Hallelujah. Because we know that God is on the move with us. He's doing amazing things with us. He's going to do greater things with us. Hallelujah. He's going to shake this nation with us. Hallelujah. He's going to shake this town with us. Hallelujah. He's going to use us to conquer. Hallelujah. He's going to bless your lives. Hallelujah. He's going to make you fruitful. Hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Jesus, why are you sleeping? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, greater things is on the way for us. Oh, pour out your blessing, Jesus. Pour out your grace. Pour out your blessing. Before I start, I want to thank everybody who, and the whole church, people who took part in the phase one of consecration, Operation Consecrate the Land. We call it Consecrate the Land. So what we believe that God put in our hearts is to consecrate this land and take this land for Him. So the first phase, we actually identified 11 gateway to this town, and we went and pray at those locations, you know, and bless and anoint those locations. Hallelujah. It was beautiful. I received the report, the feedback from people. Thank you so much for sending your report and your feedback. You know, it is amazing. Your testimony, what you sense the Holy Spirit was saying to you, what God is going to do, what God is doing. Hallelujah. Even the moment to feel that the Holy Spirit was present with you and in that place, it was so amazing. Thank you very much. There is the phase two to come. The phase two, where we want to consecrate every single street and road in Redditch. We identify nearly 800 of them. We are going to pray and anoint every single one of them at the location. Hallelujah. The in and out, and pray the blessing of God and possess those places for God. Hallelujah. We want the kingdom of God to be established in this place, in Redditch, in our lives, in our family. Hallelujah. There is no way that we are here as a church and the enemy will have a free run through this town. Hallelujah. The moment has come. The time has come. It is now to say no to his actions. Hallelujah. Salvation is on the way. The Bible says that the moment is coming, and the moment is now, that the house of the Lord, the mountains of the house of the Lord is going to be lifted high. And this is the moment. And every places, every town, every person, every people will see it. Not just that we'll see, that we'll see the light shine. Not just the lights, but they will run to the house of the Lord. And they will say, yes, this is where I want to be. Please teach me the ways of your God. The time is now. Amen. So this morning I want to continue with the consecration theme, or I want to continue with consecration. But I want us to look at Jesus's example as the perfect example of consecration. Hallelujah. But what I really want to do today is that we kind of zoom into his last moment before the passion, his last moment before he went to the cross. Yes, I give it away now. You were asking yourself, why do we have all of this here this morning? Yeah. We want to try to relieve that moment leading to Jesus' crucifixion. The moment where he freely gave his life, himself away to be crucified in order to fulfill God's plans and purpose for humanity. Because of that, you and I can be called, are called, sons and daughter of the Most High. Amen? And you are blessed. Say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Say one more time, I am blessed. So if you are here and you have not given your life to Jesus, the moment will come. The moment will come right now. But I want to urge you, don't let that moment go. Don't let that moment pass. Hallelujah. So we want to look at the final moment leading to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. Now, John, I say this many times here, I love John. I love his gospel. I love his writing. John revealed a very interesting insight into that secret moment of Jesus and his disciples. So, when we look at John, or 5 chapters in the book of John, narrates that story, that event. So, John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17. Those 5 chapters are known to be the farewell discourse of Jesus. The farewell moment of Jesus. But for me, when I study also the chapter 12, I believe that we could associate, add that chapter to the 5. So for me, it is 12 chapters, sorry, from chapter 12, 6 chapters. Because chapter 12, although the events that happened there took place about 6 days before the Passover, you know, Jesus started talking about his departure in chapter 12. But this morning we just heard from chapter 13. And chapter 13 started the narration of some keys and very, very important events that took place during that time. That night in the upper room discussion, discourse. In the upper room, what took place started from chapter 13. And we heard a very short session of it. Now, what I would like us to do today is to spend time not just contemplating what happened, the events individually, but spend time reflecting on those events. I know we won't have time today to cover all of them. We maybe will focus on one in a moment, But I want us to take time to reflect and meditate on every single one of these events. What it means to you now. What Jesus wants you to get from it. The reason why Jesus done it. The reason why Jesus said it. And you can ask yourself the questions. Are those things being reflected in my life as followers of Jesus, as disciples? If yes, hallelujah. If you want more, hallelujah. But if no, there is the opportunity for you to experience a breakthrough in that area, even now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's start with the first one. Let's start with the first one from John 13. And John 13 is represented here. This is where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. But I want to pass over this for a moment and come back to it. And move to chapter 14 and 16, represented here. In this chapter, we discover Jesus talking to his disciples, explaining his departure. But we discover a bunch of people suddenly filled with sorrow and dismay and confusion. The Master has been with us all these years. We have been under his teaching, his protection, his leadership, his guiding, his guidance. All of a sudden, he is going. Now, Jesus said he's going to die. They don't really understand what it means. We're going to lose him forever. So now Jesus, in this chapter 14, and also continue in chapter 16, Jesus started talking about something very powerful and very, very interesting. Jesus said, never alone. Never alone. I will send you the Holy Spirit. It is advantageous, or it is profitable for you that I leave. Because if I remain, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I leave, I will pray to my Father. I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The promise of the Holy Spirit. So because of the Holy Spirit, we are not alone. You are not alone. You are not supposed to walk alone. You all know that I don't like Liverpool. But the only thing I like about Liverpool is that slogan. You will never walk alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. So the Holy Spirit is with me. So the Holy Spirit is with you. The Bible said, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit come, he will teach you. He will remind you of everything that I taught you. You don't have to make anything up, because the Holy Spirit will bring to memory the thing that I already put in you. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the agent and the weapon and the armor that we work with as Christian and disciples. The Holy Spirit is with you. If you're here, you don't know the Holy Spirit. You have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe there is opportunity for you here. So in here, we've got the anointing oil representing the Holy Spirit. But we also have, you know, this garment. When Jesus was buried in that tomb, and 3 days he rose, when they came to look at the tomb, they find the clothing nicely folded. And this is nicely folded. This robe used to be where the robe I used to take to Mali, Bamako, Muslim country, for evangelism. But nicely folded with the message, I am coming back. I am coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And we move from there. In John chapter 15, we see Jesus talking to his disciples about the fact that they must remain in him. Let's read that together, or let me read that for you. John 15, if we can have that. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cut off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Amen. So this is the representation of, or my representation of fruitfulness. grapes us from Canaan, the land of Canaan. Nice and juicy. Representing a fruitful life. A fruitful life. Jesus wants you to be fruitful. Jesus wants us to be fruitful. And at this moment where we celebrate Easter, which is actually the Passover, we think about what he said. We think about his promises. We think about, or we reflect on what he has done for us. And we can ask some questions. Is my life reflecting the blessing of a fruitful vine? Here again, Jesus said, you cannot do it alone. You have to remain in me. Are you in Jesus? Are you connected to him? Or are you detached? Or are you semi-detached from him? Get some of the nutrients. But not everything that you're supposed to be getting from him. If not, you have the opportunity today to reattach yourself to Jesus. Reattach yourself so that you can bear more fruit. Much more fruit, Jesus said. I want to be fruitful. Thank you, Jesus. Not without Jesus. Not without me, not without Christ. Then we move from here. We move from here. This is chapter 15, where during that night in that upper room, Jesus was saying, look, remain in me and you will be blessed. Remain in me and, you know, even when you have trouble, nothing will happen to you because I've already conquered the world. Remain in me so that you can live a fruitful life. But we come to John 17. John 17. And I was so convinced today that Pastor Robin will have one of these. So I didn't make the effort to look for it. But Pastor Robin didn't have it. So thank you, Jerry and Kate, for this. So in here, John 15, 17, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. It is the representation of Jesus' ministry. Even right now, the Bible says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, interceding for the world. But he prayed for his disciples and he prayed for unity. He prayed that God keep them from the world. Keep them in the world.
do what he need to do, he want to do in their lives. He pray that they may remain united. You remain in unity. Hallelujah. He pray that they may continue the work. He pray that as the Father send the Son, the same way I, Jesus, send them. And not just that I send them, but as the Father, that I in the Father, they're in me. And we now, in Jesus, we are in the Father. This is the perfect unity and harmony God wants us to have with him. That relationship that was lost in Eden Garden. Jesus wants us to have that relationship with God again. The perfect harmony and unity within ourselves, but with God. Hallelujah. So we remain, we remind ourselves, or we know that Jesus is praying for us, but also we've got to carry on this ministry. Keep praying for one another. Keep supporting one another. Hallelujah. Keep advancing. Hallelujah. Keep enforcing the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God comes by power and violence. Jesus prayed. So, we must pray. How many minutes do I have left? I don't know. But remember, I was saying that we want to jump. We want to pass over this station, this moment, and come back to it. Let's come back to this moment. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Now we heard in this story that Jesus in John 13 from verse 1 to 17, Jesus started washing the feet of his disciples. The Bible says that first he got up, removed his garment, his outer garment. Jesus removed his outer garment. And he took a sort of towel. Don't worry, this is not new. This is one of my towels. Don't worry. So, and the Bible says that he wrapped the towel around his waist. So at this point, I just want one Peter. Who's going to be my Peter today? Who want to be my Peter? Come on, come. It is very interesting, the conversation or what took place here. Are we talking about John 14? Is it John 14? No, John 13. No, you're sleeping here. John 13 or 14? John 13. Great, you're alive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The crucifixion is for Jesus. It's not for us. He's done it for us. Amen? So we live because of his death. Amen? Great. So what happened here is so interesting. The Bible says that Jesus took his outer garment and took that towel and wrapped around his waist. Now, what would happen here? This towel would be something very big so that, you know, he's got a lot of much more left to use to wipe the feet of his disciple. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Great. You know, the verb, the one that he, that is used to translate, or the Greek word that was used here as Jesus taking off his garment, is the same word that was used in John 10:11. John 10:11. Let's see John 10:11. John 10:11. Oh, sorry, I didn't put John 10 in Alice Tori. Apologize. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep." So this is the word that is translated here as removing his garment. Laid down his life. That is exactly the same. He laid down everything. He laid down his life completely as a mere servant to serve his disciples, to serve the world. Laid down his life is the symbol of crucifixion. And that's the same word that was used, that is used here in John 13. So Jesus said, remove everything. You see, oh, got your socks. Don't mind me, wet your socks. Shall we wet your socks? But Jesus started washing the feet of his disciples. One after the other. One after the other. Okay. Keanu, you want me to wash your feet as well? You can come. And then Jesus came to Peter. I think this is verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" What sort of question is this? He's been watching Jesus, looking at Jesus, washing the feet of the others. And Jesus came to him and he asked, "Are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus said, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said, "No." Listen to this. Don't be distracted. Focus. Listen to this. Very, very important. Jesus said to Peter, Peter said, "No, you shall never wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus said this, "Unless I wash you." Unless I wash you. He didn't say, "Unless I wash your feet." "Unless I wash you." Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have not part with me." Then, Lord, Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Wash me completely." Now he understands. But Jesus has already said it. Unless I wash you. So, now remember, this thing is the contest. You know, the Jewish contest, the Jewish tradition where servants will wash their master's feet. They will wash people visiting them. And, you know, the Jewish tradition is a such a rich tradition where, you know, people gather together, especially in the evening time. The evening meal is a very important moment for them. And this is the moment, this is the scene. At the table where there was, you know, feasting and eating and having fun, and Jesus brought this in. So, instead of a servant washing the feet. Now the servant, how the servant will wash the feet. So the master will start menu seats and rest his feet, and the servant would is quite cool. So the servant will just pour water on the master's feet, just like that. Okay? To wash the dust and the dirt. And after they do that, they would hand over, they would take the towel. The towel wouldn't be wrapped around their waist. They would take the towel and wipe and dry the feet. But Jesus done this. Jesus took water and washed the feet of his disciples. He washed the feet of his disciples as a symbol of not only washing the dirt or the dust, cleansing just the feet. No, there's much, much more than that. When he finished, he took the towel around his waist and dried Peter's feet. After that revelation, he would have done the same for this. Wash the feet. I must confess, I must say that these are very clean already. Let's hear the next service. So we're not going to use this water now, isn't it? So I want you to picture this moment as we land here. I want you to picture this moment. We used to say this, Jesus the servant leader. It's not just about a servant leader. No, he's way more than that. He's giving up everything to those that he loves. He's laying down his life. He said there is no greater love than this. Than to lay down self, his own life to those that you love. No greater love than that. Jesus done it. It's not just about leadership, servant leader. No, it's way more than that. It is about the kingdom of God. It is about salvation. It is about soul winning. It is about setting up the example. He said, you have seen me doing it. I've done it to you. Go and do it for one another. Serve one another. the kingdom of God. Work. Advance in unity. No competition. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is stronger when we rely on one another. The Bible says one will defeat 1,000. Two, 10,000. We need to work together. We need to work in unity. I am your brother, you're my sister, you're my brother, and we are together. We are one family here, working for the kingdom of God in the principle of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't want to finish this. This is so powerful. There is a provision here at every stages here for you to enter into something new, something powerful. This is a new day for you. Hallelujah. This is a new beginning for you. Christ, the cross of Calvary, is not just a symbol. It is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. Hallelujah. It is the power of God that transforms and changes people's lives. It is the power of God that brings healing, freedom, deliverance. And even now, it is the power of God that set captives free. So if you're here, you have not said yes to Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity. Do you want to say yes to Jesus and receive Jesus in your heart? Even if you've done so in the past and your life or your work recently doesn't reflect that Jesus I'm preaching, you have the opportunity to this morning right now to realign everything. Hallelujah. This is the moment. So I want to ask, can I have every eyes closed, please? Every eye closed. Every eyes. And so this is now between you and Jesus. So I want to ask, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you want to rededicate yourself to Jesus, even at home, online, you can connect with us right now. If you are here, just raise your hand while every eye is closed. And I know that I'm praying for you. Raise your hand. Anybody want to say yes to Jesus? I've seen two hands. Close your eyes. You want to say yes to Jesus? So for those who have the hand raised, please raise your hand. While every eye is closed, I just want you to repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sin at the cross. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose again. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, come and live in me. Through your Holy Spirit, lead me to walk in your path. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pray for you. You can lower your hands. I've seen you. I'm going to be talking to you after the service. Every single one of you. The Bible says there's a party in heaven right now. There's a party in heaven. Lord Jesus, I want to pray and thank you. Bless your name for my sister and my sisters and my brother who said yes to you today. Let this day be the day of new beginning. Father God, let your power move through their lives. Father, let your Holy Spirit guide them, lead them, reveal yourself to them, draw them to yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I pray healings over you, over everybody here. Any situation that you have, any health issue that you have, right now in the name of Jesus,
It's gone. In the name of Jesus. At home, you are going to watch later. Healings. Any difficult situation, Jesus is working through now. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.